We desire your prayers this morning. We need the Lord. I'll write a subject on the board. The title is, And God Said. So I want to speak about the voice of the Lord. I want to speak to you a little bit about voices. Aren't you glad you have a voice this morning? That you're able to speak and communicate and produce sounds to others. I'm glad. I would feel very much in a prison if I was not able to speak the thoughts that were on my mind and communicate them, to utter words, to engage in conversation is a very blessed thing. Communication with one another, the Lord uses communication with each other. We come to the prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and that's a form of communication. When we testify to the goodness of the Lord and what He has done for us, it's a form of communication. But I'm thinking how wonderful it is to be able to communicate with the Lord and He with me. It is very valuable. It is, there's just really not a price that you could put on communication with the Lord and He with you, with me. So the voice of the Lord is very, very important. We're going to start over in Genesis where God said something. In the creation, as you look there in the first chapter, number of places it says, and God said, and it was so. He spoke everything into existence. And when I think about the voice of the Lord uttering those words, where there was not a human being to hear the words, only the elements of this world heard the voice of God at that point. But then God looked upon all that He had created, and then He said, and God said, let us make man in our image. Something is not complete here. I want someone in this world that I'm putting words in God's mouth, that I am able to communicate with, I'm able to have a relationship with, I'm able to commune with. And so the scripture says that they made, they being the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they were all there and they made man in their image. And so we know that God did not just shut His mouth after that. He didn't just put them in the garden, Adam and Eve, leave them to themselves. The scripture indicates that He walked with them and He talked with them. And forever how long that was, we know not. But it was a relationship that no doubt Adam and Eve passed on to the generations following them. Maybe they even expressed some of the things that God said. Maybe they told of the wonders of that wonderful garden where all was perfect. So there was a report that was given about God, and that He spoke to them and He talked to them and communed with them. We find that the scripture says, chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, just parts of it. It says that they heard the voice of God walking in the garden. And then it says, and God called unto Adam. And then it says, and God, and Adam said, I heard thy voice. So Adam and Eve were a very privileged human beings of the earth. You and I can only walk with God by faith. We can hear the voice of the Lord by faith. But they literally were with God, and they literally heard him speak. Now, from that time, when they were put out of the garden, God was silent. He didn't communicate. He didn't have the same personal conversations, if you will, with man. They had to seek to know him. I want to back up just a little bit because there was another voice in the garden. And it was the voice of Satan. Now the scripture speaks of Satan as being the serpent. And if you would look that up in the dictionary, as I did, one of the definitions for a serpent was Satan or the devil. So those that wrote the dictionaries had an understanding that the serpent that was in the garden was actually Satan himself. And I want to mention just a little bit about the voice of Satan before we go on. Because the scripture says that he was very subtle. And what that word indicates is that he was cunning. And he was crafty, skillful, and clever, and deceitful. I believe that had he sounded like himself, like his true self, that Eve would have never listened. That Eve would have no doubt turned and ran for her life had Satan presented himself in the light that he truly was. We have another scripture in the New Testament that tells us that Satan is able to present himself as an angel of light. It also tells us in the New Testament, and this is all important information for us. We'll understand it hopefully before the end of the discourse this morning. It tells us that he is a god of this world that can perform lying wonders, can do great signs. He is able to capture the attention, the mind, if you will, of human beings of the earth, just as he did with Eve in the garden. So in the beginning of our thought this morning is that the voice of the Lord was in the garden, was a wonderful voice, was a pleasure to Adam and Eve, was a comfort to them. They felt secure in the voice of the Lord. But there was another voice, and that was of Satan himself. I want to go now to the 6th chapter of Genesis. We're not going to do a lot of reading for the sake of time, but hopefully be able to convey the thoughts that we have. We're coming down to a place now. The generations have come and gone. The family, the descendants of Adam and Eve have heard the account of God walking with them in the garden, talking to them. There were those that were influenced by that report. There were those that walked with God, it says. There were those that believed God. But it came down to a time where men were wicked and evil. Their thoughts were wicked and evil continually. God repented for having made man. So he said he was going to destroy man. But one man found favor in God's eyes, and that was Noah. Noah believed the report that God could speak to you, talk with you, communicate, and have a relationship. And so there came a time that God spoke to Noah. And this is what he said in verse 9. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. Verse 13. And God said, God spoke to Noah, and he said, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. And then in verse 14, he begins to give him explicit, detailed instructions. How wonderful to know the voice of the Lord. Noah believed God. He didn't doubt it. He didn't question him. He didn't say, are you sure this will work? Are you sure this is the right plan? Are you sure it's going to rain? There's never been rain upon the earth. We have never seen a flood. Noah knew the voice of the Lord. And so we find in this account that the voice of the Lord was very simple. It was plain. It was exact. And it was sure. Do you know the voice of the Lord? Have you found it so? Now go to the 12th chapter of Genesis. And again, we will just try to give the account. This is the account of Abram. Abram's living in a place of wickedness, vile, idolatry, godless people that did not know the voice of the Lord. And probably did not care. But we find in verse 1 and 2 of that chapter. And it says, now the Lord had said unto Abram. So God spoke to Abram. And he told him, I want you to get up and out of this country. I want you to leave your kindred. I want you to leave your father's house. And I'm going to show you where to go. The scripture says that Abraham departed just on the voice of the Lord. He knew it was the voice of the Lord. He was not as familiar with that voice at this point as what he became. He later understood the voice of the Lord, communicated with him in a much more detailed way. But there was something about this command that he received it, he believed it, he acted on it, and he did not question it. If you and I can know the voice of the Lord in that same way, we too can believe it and act on it by faith. In the 15th chapter, skipping on down in Abram's life, it came to a place here, verses 1 and 2 and 5 and 6, says, after these things. Now, according to, I studied this one time, and I don't have the actual number of years between the voice of the Lord in Abraham's life, But we read this and we sometimes get the idea that it's just written chapter by chapter and it just happened like that. It didn't happen that way. There was the voice of the Lord that called him out and showed him where to go, and he followed. But there was many years in between the voice of the Lord. If you and I have those kind of experiences in our humanity, we begin to get discouraged and heartless, without faith, and begin to doubt, is there really a voice of the Lord? So here it says, after these things, after this period of time, it said that the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. God chooses different ways to speak to his people. Sometimes it is an audible voice. Other times it may be in dreams and visions. But nonetheless, it is recognized as the voice of the Lord. This time he said, fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And then Abraham felt so comfortable with this communication with the Lord that he was not silent. He spoke back to the Lord. And this is what he said. He said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? Now he has a request. I need something from you. I cannot handle, I cannot produce this thing. I want something, a blessing from you. And in this particular passage is where the promise or the covenant was given. And God said, you look at the stars. You look at the sand by the sea. And you see all of those. Can you count them? And he says, you are going to be so blessed. That's going to be your seed. That would probably be overwhelming to most of us. And yet there was something that was said in that created faith in Abraham, and he believed God. And the scripture said, it was counted unto him for righteousness. The scripture also says that he would inherit the land. Now go to verse chapter 22. This has been a number of years. We know the account of Abraham and Sarah, both of them receiving a new name, and both of them hearing that they would have a child of promise, and both of them actually laughed because they were in their old age. But what God said, what the Lord said, it came to pass. And if God speaks to you and me, and it is the voice of the Lord, and God says it, it will come to pass. Yes. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Well, here we find that the child has been born. The child is a blessing. Isaac was the child of promise. And then one day, God said something else. And he came to put Abraham to the test. He said, now I want you to take this beloved son that I have given you, and I want you to go and offer him up as a burnt offering, as a sacrifice. From all the account here, Abraham did not flinch. He had become acquainted with the voice of the Lord. A command such as that, if you and I were to get that commandment, we would say, oh, that's got to be the voice of the devil. It is not the voice of God. It does not say or indicate that Abraham doubted that it was not the voice of the Lord. He made preparations. He took his son to go and worship. He took all that was necessary for the sacrifice. And the son said, Father, where is the sacrifice? His confidence was so sure in the voice of the Lord that he said, the Lord will provide one. But they get to the place of worship, to the altar, if you will. There isn't a sacrifice. I don't know what he communicated to his son. It seems a bit strange that he would not have said, now, son, the Lord said. The Lord said that you were to be this sacrifice. He might have said, you were the child of promise. God promised you to us in our old age. He might have said, I even have faith that even though he takes you now, that he will restore you to us some way. I don't know how, but I believe that. He might have said those words. Nonetheless, he put his son on that sacrificing altar and went so far as to pull back the hand with the knife. And then there was the voice of the Lord. Abraham! He knew the voice of the Lord. Oh, we need to know the voice of the Lord. And he looked and there was a ram. And the story turns out well. Now let's go to the 40th chapter of Genesis. We'll refer to some of the chapters ahead of this. This is an account of Joseph. Now, I believe we're going to change just a little bit here because it doesn't appear that there was a voice of the Lord. But nonetheless, Joseph heard something. So what we're going to indicate here is the hearing of the voice of the Lord. We may not audibly hear it down through the Old Testament after this time when the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. God sent a man to deliver them, which was Moses, and it was the voice of the Lord that called him to that job. And then past that time, as the children of Israel came out of that place, as there were the tabernacle set up, the priests were set in order, and they went into the tabernacle, they prayed for the people. The people were afraid of the voice of the Lord. Remember there at Mount Sinai, I believe, where they had to sanctify themselves to come before the Lord, Moses told them to. And when there was thunderings and lightnings, they could not hear the voice of the Lord. They pulled back from that. They were afraid because God is so powerful. God presents himself many times with thunderings and smoke and fire and lightnings, and the people could not stand before that. So he presented himself to the priest, and the priest then conveyed the information or the voice of the Lord. But when it came to Joseph, I didn't find where he said, God said, and the Lord said. The Lord gave him a dream, two dreams. He no doubt pondered it in his heart. He wondered, what does this mean? I know that I've been given a dream, and I believe it's from God. As time went on, and his life unfolded, the dreams were revealed. He understood what they meant in the end. But in the course of his life, he met some places where he was very alone. He was not with his family, his father that maybe taught him more about the voice of the Lord. But yet, he understood. He heard something. He heard it through his mind and through his spirit. I believe the Lord wants you and me to come to a place not depending on an audible voice, but to be able to hear the voice of the Lord with our heart, according to the Word of God. Always remember that the Word and the Spirit of God speaking to us will never contradict themselves. They will always be in agreement. That is one way that you and I can test if it's the voice of the Lord. So here we have Joseph, and he's in prison. He's put there under false accusation. And one day, two of Pharaoh's servants were also in that place. And they had a dream. And it says, let's look at starting at verse 7. Verse 6 says that these two men had a dream and they both had a very clouded countenance. And it says, Joseph came in and he looked upon them in the morning and he said, behold, they were very sad. And so he asked, why do you look so sad? And so they began to tell him the dream. But they said, we don't have an interpreter. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? He didn't take any praise or credit to himself. The favor of the Lord had been upon him in every step of his life. When he was in Potiphar's house was greatly blessed because the favor of God was on Joseph. And now he's in prison, and he was even shown favor there, though he was not released. But he's beginning to say something here. I hear the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is speaking to my heart, to my mind. So he gave the interpretation as coming from God himself. And then we know the account that Pharaoh also had the dreams. The servant that was restored said, I have forgotten. I know someone that is able to interpret dreams. And so they call for Joseph. And Pharaoh says this about Joseph in the 15th verse of the 41st chapter. I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered, saying, it is not in me. God shall give an answer of peace. I believe that Joseph was acquainted with God. I believe that he understood what God was, his purpose. At the end of it, he spoke of his brothers and he said, you didn't send me here. God sent me here. He had that understanding. He heard it in his heart. So I believe the Lord is wanting to speak to us this morning. In the 38th verse of that same chapter, I want to read this part. It was very impressive to me. Because Pharaoh said, speaking of Joseph, that he was a man in whom the Spirit of God is. I believe this is the secret for you and me to know the voice of the Lord, to understand what the voice of the Lord is saying to us today. That you and I need the Spirit of God in us and working through us and giving us understanding. There is a scripture. Well, let's just start with this one in John 1, verse 1. Speaks about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you skip down to verse 14, and it said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The Word being Christ, the Word being even the Word that you and I are able to study and read out of the Word of God now. The Word is very vital to us receiving the Spirit of God into our heart and life, and then being able to understand the voice of the Lord, being able to comprehend and also discern if it's the voice of the Lord or the voice of Satan. Jesus walked with his disciples and said many things to them verbally, but then he said, I must go away. And no doubt their thought was, who will speak to us? Who will talk to us now? Doesn't say they thought that, but I know in our humanity, we might think that way. And so the Lord Jesus said, I've got to go away, but I'm going to send you the Comforter. And the Comforter will give you power. And the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. The Comforter will lead you and teach you and guide you. And the Comforter will bring back all things to your remembrance, the things that I've said that you think you will never remember again. The Holy Spirit will dwell in you. And it will be a voice unto you. You will be able to understand then the voice of the Lord if you have the Spirit of God. So, the Holy Spirit today is vital for you and me to understand when the Lord says something. When the Lord speaks to you and me, we often say it like this: the Lord has given me a burden. How do you know? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Do you know the voice of the Lord? Do you have a relationship? Have you been communicating with Him? Have you been spending time in prayer? Have you been opening yourself up before the Lord? Have you been saying, Lord, search me. See if there is any wicked way in me. Any way of pain. Is that the kind of relationship that you have with the Lord? And have you tasted of Him? Have you experienced the voice of the Lord? Have you learned to know the difference? Did you know that there are many voices in the world today? I have met many voices. I've had a voice say, you need to do this, this, and this. And I think it's the voice of the Lord. I'm going to say you and I need to not act on the voice of the Lord by sheer words, you might say. The Scripture says that we are to try the spirits. We're to see where is the source of this spirit. Satan is out to deceive you and me, and he has done it. He has deceived ministers, if you will. He has deceived people that have started out to live for the Lord, that has not had this close relationship with God, has not sought for and allowed the Holy Spirit to dwell in them, to work through them, to communicate with them. And so the enemy comes along. He's very subtle. He's very cunning. He is a deceiver. He is able to blind your mind. He is able to, and the Scripture says that, he can blind your mind. Those that do not believe the word, the scripture says, he will blind your mind. Satan is one that can present himself as an angel of light. He can transform his voice, if you will, to sound like the voice of God. We might have someone say, or we might even say, well, the devil said for me to not do that. And sometimes it will be the voice of the Lord. You know, sometimes God gets blamed for a lot of things. Sometimes it is the Lord saying, don't say that. Don't do that. Don't get up. And there's something in our humanity, if we don't really know the voice of the Lord, we'll think that's the devil trying to hinder us. We need to know the voice of the Lord. Something that's very appropriate at this point of the message. You've heard it before. But Brother Marty told of having a dream. Believe it was at Monarch. The setting was Monarch. It was a camp meeting nonetheless. In his dream, he saw standing in front of every minister an angel of the Lord. But standing behind the minister was the devil, or an imp from Satan. That devil was prodding. Don't you know that if you've gone to the service and you've said, the Lord has given me a message, that the devil knows that? And yet we believe in divine Holy Ghost leadership in our services. That's why we said in the beginning, we're here waiting on the Spirit of the Lord. We don't want human beings. We don't want the imp of the enemy that's standing behind us, prodding, making us feel hot in our spirit. Oh, you've got to hurry or you'll miss it. Anytime you feel that you've got to hurry in the work of God, you will miss it. Because God is a God that will make room for the gift. But in this dream, the angel of the Lord was standing in front of every minister, holding them back. But they're being prodded from behind. Only one minister did not have the angel of the Lord holding them back. That's how we believe. That's Holy Ghost leadership. That's the voice of the Lord. And so, when it comes time for the word, if all of us will be acquainted with the voice of the Lord, understand the checks of the Lord, understand where he is saying, not your time now, you stay in your seat and allow the Spirit of the Lord to minister through the lips of the vessel of his choosing. That's when anointing will be in the services. It won't be out of order. It will be the message of the hour. That dream that Brother Marty told has been a great help to me. And I would imagine that any minister that heard it could say, I can relate. I can relate to the prodding and think it's the voice of the Lord when it's really the enemy fighting against your soul and the souls of those that are present. Again, I want to say, in order to understand the voice of the Lord, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. You must be walking in the light. You must be embracing holiness in your life. You must be living a clean life. You can't be dabbling with this thing and that thing. You can't do it and hear the voice of the Lord. It will not speak. It will not speak. If you are dabbling in anything that is ungodly, unholy, it will taint your very mind to know the voice of the Lord. We will close with a scripture in John 10. Jesus said these words, and if he said them, I certainly want to take note. Starting with verse 1 through 5, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice." It is sheep. Sheep that belong to the shepherd. The scripture says that this is the seal of the Lord, that he knoweth everyone that belongeth to him. He knows his sheep. There is nothing about your life or my life that is hid before God. Nothing. The scripture says he knows my thoughts afar off. I'm not trying to make this too hard. It's the word of the Lord. And it will pay us to believe it so that our mind is not blinded by Satan. But he knows our thoughts afar off. The scripture speaks how that he divides the bone and the marrow and the soul and the spirit. He understands our intentions, our very intentions. We can say, God knows my intentions. Yes, he knows our intentions. We can't even pretend that our intentions are holy if they're not holy, because he knows it. So he is saying here, my sheep, those that I have a seal on, I know they belong to me. I know they're living a clean and a holy life. Those can know my voice. You can know the voice of the Lord. It will speak to your heart. There will be a witness in the word. Listen, I want to tell you, here's where you need to hear the voice of the Lord first. You need to know what the word says. If the word says, thou shalt not do something, it means thou shalt not do it. If it says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you, that's what it means. I need to understand. Another scripture says, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, that may sound so negative, and it may sound hopeless. But the Spirit of the Lord will help you and me to know our heart, whether it has something wrong or if it's accepted of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is what you and I need in this life. And so, he says, they will hear my voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. I want to tell you, to be led of the Spirit of God is so valuable, and the devil is contesting it. He is trying to get our humanity involved. The devil will even speak in our own voice. But if you will get full of the Holy Spirit, you can know the voice of the Lord. And it goes on and it says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow. Remember, Satan he would fall in that category of a stranger. But he'll try to sound like the voice of the Lord. Try the spirits. Wait on the Lord. If it's the voice of the Lord, he'll open up the way. He'll lead you through. He'll open it up. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. Do you see why I said that I think that had Satan really presented to Eve in his own real voice, she would have ran for her life? Because the scripture says that you and I, if we are sheep, we will flee for our life. For they know not the voice of strangers. That's our little thought this morning. I want to follow the voice of the Lord. I recognize there is a great danger to become lukewarm. Listen to me. Over there in Revelations, where he spoke to the church and he said, I would rather that you be hot or cold. But because you are just lukewarm, he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. If we allow our experience to cool off, not be cold and not be hot, we'll not know the voice of the Lord. Purpose in your heart and in your life. I'm going to seek the Lord like I've never sought him before. In this time, that's what we need to do. We are living in perilous times. The very air is peopled with the voice of Satan. The very spirit of the enemy is here to snatch away the words that have been spoken in your ears. That's why it's a perilous time. Let us all be on our guard. Let us watch. Let us pray. Let us seek God every day like you've never sought him before. I feel an urgency in my spirit for myself to seek the Lord like I have never sought him before. And I believe that's the age we're in. Pray for me.